This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
11 o'clock, it's Three Man Front here on this Tuesday. The request to be invited has officially been extended by both Texas and Oklahoma, Pat. This is just changing by the minute. And now we have conferences taking shots at other conferences with GIFs on Twitter. I love it.
It's great. Anytime the Pac-12's involved, you know it's going to be fun. You thought once Larry Scott left, but apparently a faux pas and a statement this morning has the Mountain West Conference a little bit upset at the Pac-12.
If you want to throw it out there, it was Commissioner George, as I call him, George K., and what he had to say, bragging about something that the Pac-12 has, is the only distinction in college football.
Yeah, that there have schools that play in the Pacific and the Mountain time zones, and he forgot that the Mountain West play both in the the Mountain time zone in the Pacific.
A guy who's been all over this story, Brian Davis, joining us with the Austin American Statesman. He joins us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Brian, you had SEC Media Days last week, Big 12 Media Days the week prior. It just thinks that there's really no news dump and we have nothing to talk about after those two events leading up to the college football season.
Listen, I've already complimented a couple of Texas sources this morning. I said, look, I appreciate you guys releasing all this stuff at 9 in the morning.
No kidding.
You know, for those of us on newspaper deadlines, this is fantastic.
Well, let's go back to 6 days ago when we were sitting at SEC Media Days. It's Nick Saban Day. That's going to be the dominant story. And then about 2:38, that's when the story broke from the Houston Chronicle. And Brian, I know you have the finger on the pulse of this Texas program, and I know you and Kirk Bowles done an outstanding job covering this. But something tells me that this is something that you've probably heard certain things about this conversation between the SEC and these two schools probably for some time now.
Well, we had, but, you know, every person you asked, we were met with, you know, are you out of your mind? Are you stupid? Do you think we're really going to do that? I mean, the denials, you know, there's certain kind of denials. There is the non-denial denial, which, you know, we all know what that is. And then there's the "are you out of your mind" type of denials, and that's what we got. And so, you know, I've said this other places. I really credit Texas administrators because they can't keep a secret to save their life. You know, they want to leak the fact that the sun is coming up tomorrow, right? But to hold on to this secret as long as they have has been very, very impressive, which shows that it's an extremely tight circle of people. The head of the Board of Regents, the president, the athletic director. I mean, those are your three main levels of administration. And if they can operate in unison, which they've clearly done, you know, you can get things done.
So, Brian, from what we understand, these talks have been going on for 5-6 months. And I agree with you. The fact that it was kept a secret, that's impressive enough. But for Texas, and you speak on behalf of Texas and what you believe by covering that program in that state. What was that aha moment, you think, for the powers that be to go, you know what, I really don't see a future here with the Big 12. The SEC might be the landing spot.
Exactly what it was. Yeah, I can tell you exactly what it was. It was the, or at least the moment that it crystallized for both of these schools, was when back in the spring, when they met with TV executives as part of their routine annual meeting with their rights holders, and they were told by both ESPN and Fox that, hey, listen, we don't have any sort of extension talks about your grant of rights at the moment. At the time, the TV networks explained it away as, listen, we got a whole bunch of changes in college football right now. We don't know what name, image, and likeness is going to do to people's feelings about this. We got the 12-team playoff, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, we don't want to extend the grant of rights beyond 24-25. And I think that is the moment that Texas and OU said, okay, we've kicked around this idea. Let's make it happen. And so, you know, Tech President is the one who kind of spilled the beans on that. He's the one who told ESPN, or no, told the Lubbock Avalanche Journal at that time, I think it was in April, that, yeah, we had a meeting with them and they didn't want to extend and, you know, it is what it is. And I think if looking back on it, you know, I know there's a lot of people in the Big 12 that wanted that to stay private, because it's never a good look when when the university president is admitting, yeah, TV networks don't want to be with us long term. That's not a good look, right? So to me, that's the moment Texas and OU said, all right, we're out.
Well, talking to Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman here on Jocks 94.5 Three Man Front. So let me ask you this. I assume that when Steve Sarkisian was being interviewed, or when do you think he was brought into the loop in regards to the potential of him being the head coach of a program going back into the SEC?
Well, I mean, that's hard to say. I mean, obviously, Sark hasn't done any interviews on this since all this broke, so we don't know just yet. And I really haven't heard officially when he may or may not have been told on this. But from everything that we do know, Sark was going to take this job no matter what.
Right.
Right. He wanted to coach at Tech, or he liked the idea of coaching at Texas. And as many coaches who come here will tell you, is that you don't tell Texas no. You know, if you're a coach and you get offered a job here, you say yes. And I have no doubt that Sark probably would have come here if these guys were, you know, in the Sun Belt, in my mind.
Brian Davis talking to us, Austin American Statesman, covering the expansion of the SEC. The official request to be invited, SEC presidents are going to, we expect, vote on Thursday, and he joins us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. If we look big picture, Brian, Oklahoma and Texas coming, what it means, what has been the reaction of the fans in your state that you deal with every single day? Mainly Longhorn fans, but also Aggie fans as well, and maybe fans of the other schools that are currently members of the Big 12. What has the reaction been since this news was released and the story came out last week?
Well, from a conference perspective, the reaction has been all over the board, depending on what team you root for. Texas fans that have emailed me, DM'd me, you know, all of this stuff, they are in unison of, finally, we are getting to go to a legitimate conference. To which my response to that is, you know, you wouldn't be saying that if the football team didn't suck, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this program has been extremely average the last 10 years, right? I mean, everyone around here knows it. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, this has been a program that has never been the same since the fifth play of the Alabama game when Cole McCoy got hurt,
yep.
Right? So that is what they're dealing with, is they are stuck in the gravity of average, right? And it's like, okay, guys, what makes you think that waking up tomorrow and playing Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, you know, in 1 month, you know, is going to change things? You guys got some work to do. There's no doubt about that. I mean, one thing that has really bothered Texas officials, I do know this, is that they see A&M's rise, and that really freaked them out. A&M is getting, I don't want to say that A&M is getting a better quality of recruit because they're in the SEC, but recruits are definitely listening to them a lot more than they had in the past.
Right.
Right. You know, and you should absolutely tip your cap to Jimbo Fisher. That's the result of his hard work. I think they're going to be great this season. You know, and that's the big talk here, is A&M going to get over the hump? Obviously. So we'll see. But I think that if you're Texas and you have recruits coming to your coaches and saying, you know, coach, you guys got a lot of great stuff going on, but man, I really want to play in the SEC. You know, I'm going to go check out what they got, you know, in College Station. That's going to eat at you. And so I think that's another reason why they're like, hey, let's do this.
In regards to maybe the exit fee, none of us believe, Brian, that it's going to be 2024-25 before they officially
right.
join the SEC. No one believes that. But based on some numbers that USA Today reported yesterday, what, $1.3 billion, that was their analysis for the conference, adding Oklahoma and Texas for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. So when you're talking about that type of increase, almost a doubling of the revenue for the SEC – And based on, I think, around, what, $160 million is owed to Texas for the Longhorn Network, and since ESPN owns that, just like they own the SEC Network, if the Big 12 does not implode, do you see it being a problem for Texas or Oklahoma to pony up whatever monies is necessary to get out when they want to get out?
Well, I mean, I know that one very well plugged in Texas source told me that they would prefer not to pay anything. They want to pay zero. You know, whether that becomes a matter of the Big 12 implodes or it's all, you know, I liken it to all the rebates you get at a car dealership. It's like, we'll take off 100 here and 200 there and 500 for this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just give me the bottom line sticker price. Right?
Sure.
That's where Texas is at right now. And I just don't think that either Texas or OU, I just don't think they're going to be interested in paying some big exorbitant number just to do that. That said, to me, this all depends on what happens with the remaining eight schools in the Big 12. I personally think that they should go raid schools, pull in Cincinnati, pull in Houston, and bang, you know, you're back at 12, maybe even larger of a number. You're still a power conference. You still have autonomy mm-hmm. status. You've got a lot of NCAA tournament credits sitting in the bank that are going to be paid out over the coming years. I mean, Bob Bowlesby is not in a situation where he has to just, you know, aw shucks it and walk away. I mean, I think the Big 12 as a conference is still viable. But let's be honest, the value is down without Texas and OU.
All right, Brian, I don't know if you heard it, but Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard, he made a statement reaching out to the Cyclone fan base. I just want to get your immediate reaction when you hear these comments.
Yeah.
A time to panic. Our industry is in a complete state of flux. And quite frankly, every institution should be evaluating where they are and how things are going to look as this landscape continues to change. I also encourage our fans, although it's fun and it's interesting to get caught up in all the rumors, this is one more time where taking a step back and having patience and understanding that this is not going to be solved anytime soon. We know for the next 4 years, the Big 12 is going to stay viable. The Big 12 is going to continue to win national championships and be competitive in NCAA championships, and all 10 members are going to continue to receive their full media shares.
Your reaction?
That's incredibly naive, if you ask me. I think that's very naive, but I also know that this is an athletic director who, you know, doesn't like talking to the local media, and he only speaks through statements hidden behind the Cyclone YouTube channel. So I say whatever. I mean, I like Iowa State and the fact that they kept Matt Campbell around. I really like Matt Campbell as a coach, and I really, really like what he's doing. But, you know, Iowa State, Kansas, and Kansas State are the three main schools in the league that I think are going to have the hardest time, right? People are going to want to pick up Kansas for Kansas basketball. I get that. But Kansas football is atrocious, right? And so, you know, we learned 10 years ago that this is not a basketball decision. This is about how good is your football program. And that's why I think those three schools are going to have a hard time. But I can see him being correct in that, you know, we're still going to get our share. Yes, you are going to get a payout, and I think Texas and OU will work hard to make sure that those schools remain whole. But to think this is going to go on another 4 years is just very naive.
And you just mentioned it. We're all focused on football. But when you look at what Oklahoma and Texas is bringing to this conference, I immediately, because we are big college baseball fans, and just seeing the likes of
softball as well.
Exactly. I mean, what Oklahoma softball is. But Texas baseball uh-huh. now being thrown in this league with Mississippi State and LSU, and it just goes on and on. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's just another reason, not only football, but just being able to marriage these two programs with this conference is going to be a heck of a lot of fun to cover.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I thought the Texas-Mississippi State game at the World Series was the best, one of the best games of the entire season. right? The elimination game that they played. I thought it was awesome. You know, here in Austin, people were a little down that Kim Mulkey left Baylor to go to LSU. There's a lot of women's basketball fans that, you know, people want to go scream at Mulkey. So, hey, let's go to Baton Rouge and yell at Kim Mulkey, right? Not looking forward to the Cowbells in Stark Vegas. I know I can tell you that. But I am looking forward to the Grove. There's no doubt about it. I just think that where we are headed as an industry, we are headed to I really firmly believe that we are headed to 4 16-team super conferences. And if you are the SEC, the two most gettable, attractive assets are Texas and OU. I mean, realistically, that's it. So if this is where we're going, and you read the reports that Greg Sankey, you know, doesn't like Mark Emmert and wants to kind of stick it to the NCAA a little bit, I mean, what better way than doing this? You do this, and now you become the biggest of the big dogs.
All right, and finally, Brian, I know that Pat asked you the question about Sark. You know, you said he was going to take this job regardless. Lincoln Riley's in a little bit of a different situation based on Oklahoma's success that they've had, especially there in the Big 12. Just your opinion, what do you think? And he's speaking at a coach's luncheon today. I don't know if he's going to comment on it, if he's asked about it, but what do you think Lincoln Riley, in the privacy of his own office, when he received this news, what do you think his reaction was?
I have to believe it was, what are we doing? What are we thinking? Right? Because, you know, and then he just points at the six Big 12 championship banners hanging up, you know, as he's looking over his six rings that are on his hand from the last 6 years. It's like, what are we doing? Why would we do this? Right? I mean, look, yes, they've had problems in the playoffs. I get it. But that's an on-field issue. This is a business problem that we're talking about here, and this is effectively one conglomerate merging with two very large companies, right? I mean, and that's how you have to look at this. This is a business decision that Texas and OU, quite frankly, probably need to make, and you know, you're just going to have to roll with it. I mean, I know a lot of people here. It's almost like they want Nick Saban to hurry up and retire, but then again, Texas signed that home-and-home non-conference contract with Alabama because they want Nick Saban on the sideline when they come here in whatever it is, 22 or 23, whichever year that is, right? I mean, I know that Chris Del Conte was jacked sky-high for the idea of Nick Saban coming to Austin and standing on the opposing sideline, and vice versa, excited for Texas to go to Tuscaloosa, right? So, you know, this is something that everyone here is energized about. They can't believe it's happening, and it's almost like, can Thursday hurry up and get there?
All right, Brian, well, on behalf of all of us here in SEC country, we officially welcome you to the Southeastern Conference. And but tell all the Longhorn fans, horns down will not be a penalty in this conference because it just means more.
It just means more. You know, the real quick on the penalty.
Sure.
The only people that really talk about that as a thing are the fans. The coaches, the players, I'm telling you, they do not care. They think it's funny and kind of awesome because a Texas fan will tell you, hey, that's living rent-free in your head, baby. That's all that is, rent-free space, you know, in the attic. And so to them, they think that whole story is great.
Well, another bonus, every SEC football stadium allows live mascots on the sideline.
Listen, they're gonna roll that cow all over the greater southwest portion of the United States. It's gonna be unbelievable. Well,
there's a rivalry already with Georgia and Uga. After the incident that happened just a couple of years ago.
I was there for that too, and boy, you talk about chaos. I mean, that whole scene was chaos that night.
Hey, Brian, thanks for hanging out, man. Good stuff, great work. We're following your coverage there from Austin. Excited to have Texas and Oklahoma joining the league.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
All right. Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman at B Davis AAS joining us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, a superior light beer with low calories, low carbs, and zero fat. live life to the ultra. Some takeaways from what Brian had to say and five questions from Pat. That's next. Three Man Front, Jox 94.5.
Three Man Front, weekday.
Right here on Jox.
Jox 94.5.
11:24, it's Three Man Front, Jox 94.5. Pat Smith, at Pat Smith Radio. I saw your tweet yesterday that there is a possibility Alabama will not have Fan Day there in Tuscaloosa. I think scheduled for August the 7th?
August 7th, that is correct. That will not take place.
Mm. Certainly hate to hear that. We are around 30 days away from the start of the college football season. Brian Davis, outstanding work that he always does there with the Austin American Statesman and giving us the inside information. He's been on top of this story since it broke. What he had to say, what was one of your main takeaways, what Brian told us?
Well, first and foremost, Texas, even though they've got a lot of money and they're typically ranked as the number one brand in the revenue generated off that brand and all of sports, period, in regards to intercollegiate athletics, that they do not want to pay a dime to leave the Big 12. I think most people are betting on the fact that the Big 12 will implode. It's interesting that the Longhorn Network, they are owed about $160 million left on the contract. All indications are that the Longhorn Network will go away because obviously they'll become a part of the SEC network. So you just wonder, on that monies that's still owed to the Longhorn Network, would the SEC be able, not SEC, I should say ESPN, would they be able to take that money still owed and maybe put that towards a Big 12 early, I guess, departure fee that Oklahoma and Texas would have to pay? You know, would they take some of that monies and put it towards their relocation fee, so to speak, to the SEC?
Who do you think that this benefits? And we know what the revenue share is going to be for both OU and Texas, but which one of those schools do you think it benefits the most by coming to the SEC?
Oklahoma.
I agree.
Just because they do not have that same revenue stream that Texas has. I mean, Texas has given up some of that money now, because when you read a story in USA Today yesterday afternoon saying that the SEC could generate $1.3 billion, whereas I think they generated $730 million before the pandemic, you're doubling the revenue based on the fact that you're adding those two schools. Just think of everybody's increase instead of the $45 million that you currently get per year. And not to mention the fact that the SEC was in the best financial situation, where they gave the schools here recently, what, $25 to $27 million just to cover these offsets of what took place during the pandemic.
I agree with you. I think it benefits Oklahoma more. And here's the reason why. Everything you mentioned with the resources that Texas has, and Texas, it's there in Austin. But now if you're Oklahoma, and while they've gone into Texas and recruited well over the years, they can recruit nationally, but not to the level of an Alabama or possibly Ohio State. That's my opinion. But now you put that SEC tag next to Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma, where it might have been a deterrent because I'm going to go play in the Big 12 and Norman's out there. Now, how many of these kids, they're not thinking geography. They're thinking, no, it's Oklahoma. They're a part of the SEC. I'm going to be able to play the competition, not only playing against Texas, but I'm going to be able to play in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, mm-hmm. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Swamp, Jordan-Hare Stadium. The list goes on and on. I do think that Oklahoma will be the bigger beneficiary, and I think it starts with recruiting.
Well, between 2011 and 2021, 12 of the 14 SEC schools totaled 165 signees ranked as five stars. Meanwhile, during that time in the Big 12, only 24 five stars signed with the likes of Texas and Oklahoma.
And for those youngsters coming in that not only pay attention to the rankings like that, but also look around trying to establish their brand and stuff, this is now also another Jordan brand coming into the league.
Because very true.
I know Florida's obviously there, but Michigan, Houston, North Carolina, obviously, and now Oklahoma, but now there are two Jordan brands in the SEC. So Florida's definitely obviously not the only one that could at least say that, hey, we're the Jordan mm-hmm. brand, so now there's another one coming in.
Yeah, if you want to look in terms of national recruiting rankings, and I was just mentioning that, and I didn't have these memorized, but when I look at Oklahoma, as much success as they've had, Pat, over the last couple of years. They've come in at number 16 nationally in recruiting in 2020. This past year, they were in the teens, right next to Texas. You can't undersell. He talked about, Brian Davis talked about the rise of Texas A&M and some of those kids that they used to not get and their image and where it is now, not only with facilities, but the perception and playing in the SEC and playing on national television and the contract that the SEC currently has through ESPN. That's going to make a huge difference. And if I'm Coach O, probably a little bit nervous, especially not only with Texas being your neighbor to come into Louisiana, but I'm also a little bit nervous if I'm in the state of Georgia, if I'm in Florida. I mean, heck, even in Alabama, with it's just weird, and you've seen it, how the perception changes with kids and how they view schools once something like a seismic shift happens.
Well, we talked about this close to the NFL draft at how, especially Texas, they've had problems getting guys drafted in the NFL that are former Longhorn football players. And you look at the last five drafts, the Big 12, they've had 103 kids that were drafted. The SEC's had 298. So if you're a kid, not only if you're a five-star, you're going to the SEC, you're not going to Oklahoma or Texas, but you look at draft day and you see a number of 298 in the last five drafts going from the SEC when there's only 103 going from the Big 12, that's a problem.
Don't let the Alabama heat get you down. Keep your home comfortable with an affordable Trane cooling system. Trane is the official cooling partner of Jocks, and 2021 is the seventh consecutive year it was recognized as America's most trusted HVAC brand. Find a comfort specialist near you at Trane.com. It's proven it's hard to stop a Trane. Five questions from Pat. This is what we call Pat Ponders. Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals. You can be sure they're not going anywhere. Mike and the gang located not here, only here in central Alabama, but they'll service the entire state of Alabama. Alabama Roofing Professionals, alroofpros.com or 205-722-ROOF.
All right, guys, I'm going to take you back to the beginning of these Olympics. It's been kind of a slow start. Many people kind of surprised at some of the performances so far, but we're just getting things started in Tokyo. But I'm going to go back to Team USA basketball losing to France. So which of these best describes where the blame should be placed? Is it the world has caught up, Popovich wrong choice as the head coach, or just apathy by the USA superstars? Or you could say all the above.
I think all of the above. Because I think now on the apathy front, I hear that these teams, you know, from Europe, that they, you know, they train together, you know, all the time. They've been training together. Well, I get that, but you also have NBA stars that are playing on those teams. It's not like the United States, that's the only one to get, you know, additions. Whether it's two guys that played in the NBA finals, maybe it's a style of play. Pop, I'm not a huge fan of, and it has nothing, well, it does have something to do with some of how he manages a game, and he's managed that team, and I think he's mismanaged it. But yeah, Pat, I think that it's all of that. And what we saw in 92 and holding the United States team to that standard, the NBA has changed. The amount of international players has certainly changed. And there's no MJ out there. There ain't no Larry Bird. There's no Charles Barkley. I think it's a culmination of all three of those things.
How about you, John?
I'm not willing to thrust it on Pop. I think he's a good enough coach to where this talent that's amassed, they shouldn't be playing like that. So I don't think it is Pop. I do think that, yeah, not that the world is caught up, but maybe the world has gotten better, or maybe we as fans are more arrogant or just assume that because it's NBAs that they're going to go out and win 100-0 or 84-6 or whatever those 92 scores were. I don't think it's apathy from our team, but more so, more so that they feel like they don't have to put forth the work. Not that they don't care to be there, like, oh, we're just fine. It's more so like Kevin Durant, he's arguably the best player in the world, at least the top two or three. He's probably out there thinking, instead of having the mindset of I got to go out there and grind every day, it's like I'm Kevin Bleepin' Durant. I can just go out there and show up.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that the players are of that mindset, not necessarily apathy, but more ego-driven.
Yeah.
Well, I would say for the guys, and I respect the guys, the players that actually decided to play on that roster, maybe the apathy is coming from other guys who decided, you know what, it's not that important to go and represent my country and compete on a world stage. I got more important things to do. Whether it's the release of a movie or, hey, you know, whatever the reason, it's not that big of a deal. It's the Olympics. How much are we getting paid?
Yeah. Well, we will see. Their next opponent is Iran. So we'll see if
they've already won gold in an Olympic event. It's shooting.
How about that? Question number two. If you're the University of Central Florida, would you take an invitation to a watered-down Big 12?
If I was who?
Central Florida.
Man, that's tough. A watered-down Big 12? The revenue is going to be more than what you're getting in the American right now.
Not by much.
Oh, I think that I mean... What you have with Cincinnati, Central Florida, and then you could group in a few, Boise, probably there, BYU, but we know some of the problems with joining a major conference when it comes to all your sports across your athletic department. I think Central Florida may be in a pretty good spot. I might wait and see and kind of see what happens.
So you'd say no?
I would say no.
Okay. I think I'd say yes. As much as I think they are probably in the best spot to get the next Power 5 spot, no matter where it is. I say Power 5, obviously Big 12 is probably about to go away. But I think they're the next school in line to be given that what we used to call Power 5 status.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if I'm UCF, I might go ahead and get in the Power 5, do it for a couple of years, show that you belong. Maybe because since you're in the Power 5 and it's still viewed as such, you can make a college football playoff.
Well,
I don't think they're talented enough to do it, but at least if you're in the Big 12, the committee, I think, would give you benefit of the doubt. They did it to TCU a couple of years ago when that was 2014, so they were in the league, what, 1-2 years? So if you can get in and do fairly well, that would at least not only give the committee a look at you, but it could also be a trial run for the other conference. Hey, Pac-12, look, I can do this.
But you also have to consider this. We don't believe the SEC is going to be the only conference that is adding teams. I think the ACC makes a lot more sense. It's more stable as a conference as we know it right now. And what is the perception right now of the Big 12?
Yeah.
Huh? Is that when you go and join a Power 5 school, it almost looks like as much as we gave grief to Danny White, you know, say, hey, we belong on the stage, whatever. Your program is still on the rise. It's viewed in a very positive light when it comes to a non-Power 5. You're going to jump at the first opportunity and go to a conference where right now the bell cow that we're looking at when it comes to college football is Iowa State. Makes
yeah,
no
I don't,
sense
I don't
whatsoever.
Know if I'd put my future on that.
I think Central Florida would be better off seeing what shakes out. And if I get a call from the Big 12, I'm seriously considering just saying thank you, but no thank you. Because I don't know what's going to happen to the rest of those member institutions there.
I don't either, but you're holding on the hope that you will end up in one of those and those conferences don't just break away and leave you in the dust.
And history will also tell you, you look at what happened with TCU, like when they, you know, was in the Mountain West and then they left. Whereas I think that if UCF made that decision to go to the Big 12 and then the Big 12 all of a sudden in a couple years basically dissolves, somebody's going to want to take UCF. I think right. They would be in a position to where they're not going to be left out to dry.
And if you get a little taste of the Power 5 life, you could be you could be even more appealing to an ACC, maybe even to an SEC, definitely to a Pac-12.
The next move that the ACC needs to make, and you consider they need help in football. They need to extend invitations to West Virginia and Central Florida today.
That would be a good plan.
Because your basketball, UCF has not been terrible in basketball.
They had Taco a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, I keep up with college baseball. UCF has had a strong program. Your alumni, what is it? It's like one of the largest. Your enrollment's crazy there.
Oh, yeah.
You're increasing in the state of Florida. You're there with two other schools from your state. And then West Virginia, you're going to bring both with basketball and also with football. I think both would be welcome additions and would help the ACC if they're going to indeed follow suit with what the SEC has done.
That would be very smart for them to do that. Final question for Pat Ponders on this Tuesday. What's something you have in your car just in case? And that just in case could be anything.
Well, so you can decipher why or whatever. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to be fully transparent, which I am, and sometimes I regret being transparent.
Oh, boy.
Extra pair of boxers, shorts, socks.
So you have
toiletries. It's just it's an emergency type deal. Just in case, man, you never know.
Never know what?
You never know when you're going to
have an accident or it could be an accident.
Or
you're going to run into somebody that you might have a sleepover. I mean, what are you talking about?
Or, hey, you know, you want to go play nine. Well, all I got's
I got my boxers. I'll go play.
Pair of jeans on. Oh, wait. I've got those shorts. I got the golf shorts in the back.
So you have a full wardrobe.
I'm not going to say like a closet full of stuff, but I got stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I appreciate you being transparent.
Yes. Thank you very much, Landon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the honesty. Kind of weird, but okay.
I mean, it's Landon. What do you expect? Yeah. I have a go bag that has a change of clothes. That has
Wait a minute. You have this.
No, you have yours for. No, you said yours for when you have an accident.
I said if you have an accident if somebody wants to impromptu, let's go play golf.
At this studio in this building overnight. And so I keep one in there if in the event I'm stuck here. Granted, this time of year, it's not all that often, but I've learned emergencies tend to happen.
Yes, they do.
You don't expect
accidents tend to happen. Sometimes you gamble and lose.
That's fine. Okay, of course. Typical engine. Like those Buffalo ones.
Happened to me early in my sales career. That's a bad feeling.
But having been up here overnight and I think for four straight days and only had one change of clothes, I vowed that if something like that would ever happen again, at least I won't be caught off guard. So I keep that in the car, and during the cold months, I'll keep toiletries in there too, like, because no point in leaving deodorant in there now; it's just going to melt.
Yeah.
So that I leave up here in the office.
John, I will credit you. I think that is that's just a great idea to do that.
Pat, do you have a lock of Whitey Herzog's hair in a Ziploc bag?
Why would I have that in my car?
Tony La Russa?
That's just weird.
Ozzie Smith's fingernail clippings? What do you have?
And the car's already dedicated to Ozzie. What else
I mean, seriously, he's got a personalized tag.
No.
In case you're riding around and you see that tag, that's Pat.
No.
Sorry.
I feel bad because really the only thing, like in the wintertime, I might throw in an extra jacket in the car.
I guarantee you.
Maybe.
John, he's got an Atlas. He's got an Atlas that is in there.
Atlas being on his phone. No. But wintertime, I keep bottles of water in the car.
No, when I go to work, I always bring two bottles of water with me. One I will leave in the car, and of course, this time of the year is not a good idea because obviously it's going to be steaming hot by the time I get off of work. But in the wintertime especially, I always have an additional bottled water in the car.
And an empty milk jug.
I do not have that, no.
Okay, he's not a farmer, but all right. But no, I do the same. Each of the doors have a bottle in there, in case.
That's what I do. So, man, I just feel, wow. I mean, you guys are, like, really prepared. I'm not. I might need to...
Now, I don't know if the clothes I have in there fit. I've gone through some weight fluctuations over the last few years. I don't know if they fit, but.
So if
there's going to be a day where.
So
where
if somebody here at work.
Where that happens and you're going to go, man, I was laughing at Landrum that day, but oh.
So in other words, if somebody around the office has an issue and they need an extra pair of boxers, you got them covered.
No. I'm not going to borrow my boxers. Commando it, man.
Are they clean?
Yeah, they're clean.
You wouldn't help out someone?
You wouldn't help
that?
Man, it depends on the situation, but I mean, they got to be in dire straits to need some underwear for me to Actually, I'm not going to let you borrow anything. I'll just give you the boxers. You can have them. I don't want them back.
Well, yeah, that was kind of understood. But, I mean, you wouldn't help a brother out?
Can I believe you just would just turn your back on one of your fellow employees?
Said it depends.
I mean, you give them depends, too?
Yeah. If you have the adult diaper.
That prepared.
Maybe instead of packing a bag, just a pack of the adult diapers. That's what I would need.
Idea. All right, that's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, alroofpros.com.
I'm sure Mike is really proud of this one today.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. They will check your roof for leaks in case you have any, and you can find them at 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com to find more out about that great, outstanding company. More to go. Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
11:50. It's been a busy show. Tim O'Malley, Irish Illustrated, discussing the possibilities, while they seem remote right now, of Notre Dame joining a super conference, the SEC in particular. And also Brian Davis from the Austin American-Statesman. A great interview with Brian and some of the information we had just from a Texas perspective, where the Big 12 could be going, Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and some of the reaction they've gotten. Not only by the powers that be that help influence this decision, but the timeline, all of that can be found there at jocksfm.com, at the number Three Man Front there on Twitter. We're just over 30 days away from the start of the college football season. I told you I'm doing my sports room overhaul, and I've always been envious of yours because your sports room is really, really cool, the way that you have your helmets displayed and everything else. And I was asking you about particular helmets. Pat has an extensive collection of really cool helmets. Now, how many of those he actually purchased himself or were given to him remains?
I've been very fortunate. When Texas A&M joined the Southeastern Conference, we actually did our show from College Station, and Kevin Sumlin gave me a Texas A&M helmet. So I was able to add that to my collection.
But I'm going through it here. So with the SEC, if you were starting from scratch, Auburn and Alabama, I got those covered already.
Okay.
What would be your go-to helmets right now if you're starting a collection? Like your best-looking helmet. I know you'd say go ahead and get, you know, the other 14 teams, and we're adding Oklahoma and Texas in there. But as far as good-looking helmets to display, if I had to say, all right, I'm going to give you, you can buy five helmets. Okay. Other than Auburn and Alabama,
yeah.
Which helmets?
Oh, that's, to me, it's easy. I mean, LSU's got a great lid.
Yep.
Florida,
yep.
Georgia. Those three, Ole Miss,
powder blue,
probably powder blue. Mm-hmm.
What's the last one?
Vanderbilt.
You're going Vandy.
Absolutely.
Which Vandy helmet are you going with?
That was of course they changed it up. I only have the gold one, the old school gold one. That was the last one to complete the SEC. And I was joking around with you yesterday, a couple of years ago. I already have Texas and Oklahoma.
So do you really?
I do. They were already part of my collection. So I'm covered there.
You're covered, yeah.
I'm good to go there.
If there was, did you say Tennessee?
I did not say Tennessee, but that's a good look.
If you're gonna throw out, I mean, that's still a good look with that block T.
Mm-hmm. Now, see the Mizzou one that I have. I'd like to get the block M Mizzou. I have the one that they debuted a couple years ago with the tiger on the side of the full side of the helmet.
Not the sailor tiger.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a cool look.
It is, but
for one game,
The block M, which they wore
right
for many, many years.
I like that white South Carolina helmet.
Now, see, I have the garnet one that says Carolina on the side of the helmet. I don't have the one that they wear most of the time, and I have the white Mississippi State helmet. I don't have the burgundy one.
And I was always fond of the Kentucky helmet, not the one that they have now with that metallic blue, but I like the white helmet with the block K.
Oh, yeah.
The black mm-hmm. face mask. Go the blue face mask, but that was one of my favorite helmets. I don't think they wear it enough.
But my all-time favorite helmet that I have in my collection is North Carolina.
North Carolina, man. It's hard.
It's got the Argyle stripe down the middle of it. It is just a great look.
All right. So besides North Carolina, you threw out, if I said one team, not in the SEC, nationally, you get one helmet that you're able to choose. Who is it? Cause you know, I'm writing all these down.
I like Clemson's. I have Clemson. That's a good one.
Clemson would be a good one.
I don't have Michigan.
Michigan would be mine, I think.
I have Ohio State. I don't have Michigan. My family gave me, for Father's Day, they gave me a USC one.
Yep.
Because I don't have a lot. The only The only Pac-12 one I had before USC was Utah, because a buddy of mine is the equipment manager at Utah.
I don't know, though, the old school Arizona State helmet.
Oh, yeah, the Sparky.
I might go with that one.
Yeah, the Sun Devil.
That's really, really cool. All right, no, football season. Just
so which one's
going to
be your first one, then? You have Georgia pulled up on your screen.
Yeah.
Do I assume that the Bulldogs might
I'm going Georgia LSU. And I'm
now
debating.
Keep in mind, when you get that,
yeah,
you've got to accessorize it. You got to get the right bumper. You've got to get the right back bumper. And then you got to make sure that you get the dog bones and you get the SEC logo and you get everything on the else on the back of the helmet.
You're my own personal shopper when it comes to helmets.
So just because you're buying that shell does not mean that you're going to have all those additional things to make it official.
I'm not going to. Okay, but I'm not going to have to add the decal, right?
No. All, what you see on the screen, you get, but I'm talking about the front bumper that says dogs. On the back of it, it's going to say Georgia, the SEC decals, the bone decals that they put on the back of the helmet, all that stuff.
Florida State's a good-looking helmet, too.
It is. I've got that one.
Our boss, Ryan Haney, has the Wyoming helmet, which is awesome. You gave it to him, didn't you?
I did.
You brown-nosed suck-up. That's going to do it for us. We will continue to track expansion. The Matt McLaren Show is next here on Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.